Chapter 6, 34 Days in Paradise. The moment I died the third time, two angels appeared at the foot of the bed. I asked them, "Why are you here?" "We are here to take you home," they said. Each angel took one of my hands as a thick fog engulfed me. "Who are you?" I asked. One replied, "I am goodness." The other said, "I am mercy." Immediately Psalm 23, verse 6 came to me. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." These angels walked me through the wall. We stopped in a hallway, and they said, "Wait, we want to show you something." They took me to the room of a man who had just died. He had been driving drunk and was involved in a serious automobile accident that resulted in his hospitalization. He died a sinner, and the spirit of this dead man was screaming as these hideous, demonic spirits carried his soul and spirit away. The angel said to me, "He made his choice." I had never seen anything so terrifying. The demonic spirits that were dragging away this man's spirit were gruesome creatures that cursed God with every breath. The angels let me watch this for a moment and then said, "It is time to go." Within a flash, we were in another location. I asked the angels where we were, and they said, "This is paradise." Soon after I arrived, I heard a voice like none I had ever heard before, a voice with great authority say to the angels, "Lay him over here." They laid me on my stomach on a table that had a hole for my face, similar to one you would see in a chiropractor's office. The voice said, "Hold him down. He likes to move around too much." An angel sat on me, but the weight was not uncomfortable. I just couldn't get up. Again the voice said, "Teach him my word for 6 days. Two men dressed in beautiful robes came toward me. The sash of each robe was woven in gold, and there appeared to be gemstones embedded in the garments. As they came closer, I looked at their faces. Somehow, I recognized these two men as Elijah and Elisha. They were carrying two large and indescribably beautiful scrolls. One sat to the left of me, and the other to the right. "We have come to teach you the word of God," they said. "You had better get a Bible," I told them. They motioned to the scrolls and said, "This is the word of the Almighty God, the great El Shaddai. Nothing added to nor taken away." The thought came to me that these were the scrolls of the prophets. One began to teach me in Hebrew and the other in Greek. They read the word and explained details, and I understood everything both of them were saying. Soon I began to realize how simple the word of God really is. It says what it means and means what it says. When they were finished, they released me and said, "Now you can ask questions." I can't remember what to ask. I will never remember all of this. Again, I heard the voice of God, a voice with great authority, say, "At the appropriate time, you will remember what you have been taught. You had to come up here for me to put this knowledge into you. When you go back to earth, you will take this information with you. I want you to go back and teach this information to the people. You will also tell them that I will send for my people very, very soon." Earlier in this book, I mentioned that I did not graduate from high school because I went to work in the cotton mill when I was 15 years of age. It was always difficult for me to read the King James Bible and understand what I was reading. After being taught the Word of God, I understood it completely. However, I didn't come back to earth with knowledge where I can say, "I was taught the word of God in Hebrew and Greek. Let me sit down and tell you everything I know." Instead, the Holy Spirit brings the information to mind at the times that the Lord desires. He is the one who chooses when to release the information. Sometimes when I preach or simply talk to people, information comes from my mouth that is presented in such a way that people have never before heard or understood. Those who hear it receive a deeper illumination of the written word of God. People might say, "That is exactly what the Bible says, but I've never understood it or heard it explained that way before." When I was in paradise, there was one special thing that God put inside me. Before he did so, I was put to sleep. When I awoke, God said, "Now it is in you, and you will never be the same. When it is time, this will be manifested. You will understand it then." Not long ago, the Holy Spirit said to me, "I am getting ready to manifest what I have put in you. It shall happen soon." At this moment, I still have no idea what God placed inside of me. Everybody wonders, and even theologians disagree, about what happens to a person when they die. I have been dead several times, and sometimes nothing happened. I didn't go anywhere, or see a bright light, or anything else. Instead, I seem to exist in some indeterminate state between life and death. I call it limbo. But the third time that I died, my soul and spirit left my body immediately, and I was carried to a place called paradise. Paradise is inhabited not just by the souls and spirits of our saved loved ones whose earthly physical bodies are in the grave, but by the prophets, patriarchs, disciples, apostles, and other saints that we read of in the Bible. Even though most of the people in paradise didn't know each other while they lived on earth, they all recognize each other in paradise. Everybody is known there, just as they were known on earth. Here on earth, we say that these people are dead, but in paradise, they are joyfully alive. When you enter paradise, you will be able to talk to anybody you see. I was surprised to learn that even the people I had never met on earth knew who I was and could call me by name. They also seem to know whether you are there to stay or if you will be returning to earth. Some people that I thought would be there were nowhere to be found. Others I thought would never make it were there. In paradise, it is a wonderful feeling to know that you can trust everybody you see. Though you will be known just as you were known on earth, one day God will give you a new heavenly name. God said to me, "Your parents gave you a name on earth, but as your heavenly Father, I give you a new name here." For eternity, you will have a different name that was given to you by God Himself. God told me what my new name would be, and I was able to repeat it to Helen one time. Since then, I haven't been able to recall it, but I can tell you that it sounded like a Hebrew name. Paradise and heaven are not one and the same. There is a separation between heaven, which is the territory of God's throne, and paradise, where believers and angels live. God let me see a glimpse of heaven with its huge throne and a burning altar. There are beautiful gates that lead into heaven. The best way I can describe heaven and paradise is to call them a city and its suburbs. For example, on earth we have a city like Atlanta and all of the cities that make up its surrounding suburbs. Heaven is the city and paradise is the surrounding suburbs. Saying that we go to heaven is like saying we live in Atlanta when we actually live in Marietta, a suburb of Atlanta. Paradise and heaven are situated in the third heaven. In 2 Corinthians 12, verses 2 through 4, the Apostle Paul wrote that he was caught up into paradise in the third heaven. He didn't know whether he was in the body or out of the body, only God knew. Entering paradise in the spirit seems exactly like going there in the body, so I can understand why Paul didn't know whether he was in spirit or in body. After the millennial reign and the great white throne judgment, the earth and the heavens will be destroyed and replaced, and paradise and heaven will become one. God said that this earth will be a burnt crust, and no seed will ever grow on it again. When Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you," He was not referring to a place in paradise. He left to prepare a whole new planet, the planet that one day will become the new earth. That planet is already prepared, and the righteous believers will be ushered to our new homes there after the day of judgment. God let me catch a small glimpse of the city of the New Jerusalem. I have never seen anything like it, and I can't begin to describe it because it would be impossible. It is a city that is too magnificent for words. The things I saw had to be made by God Himself, because man could never make anything like this. I believe that one reason God can't allow us to catch more than a glimpse of the New Jerusalem is because the glory would be too much for us to handle. God has to let us experience His glory a little at a time to prepare us for something so magnificent. By the time there are new heavens and a new earth, everybody will have reached their final destination, either with God on the new planet or with Lucifer, Satan, in the lake of fire. Everything will be perfect on the new earth. People will be having a hallelujah time. This will be the earth that God intended from the beginning when He first created Adam and Eve. Work will not be hard labor. It will be something you enjoy and always wanted to do. Wherever you want to go, you will simply imagine it in your mind and you will be there. On the new earth, we will be able to visit people and places at any time. Paradise, as it exists now, is a place of indescribable beauty. It is splendid, flawless, and magnificent. Everywhere that you look, there are beautiful trees and aromatic flowers with vivid, enticing shapes and colors that I would describe as multidimensional. I still can see them in my mind, but I cannot truly describe them. The streets are transparent gold and inlaid with precious jewels that are cut in a very unusual way. Streets are lined with gorgeous flowers, and there are poles along the sides of the streets with flowers growing out of the poles. On the top are more flowers that seem to spring from inside the poles and drape down like a hanging basket. If you like flowers, you'll love paradise. There's a walkway along the side of the road that is transparent silver and embedded with precious stones. The stones are a variety of colors, and they sparkle and illuminate the walkway. There were even horse-drawn chariots. There is no sun, yet everything is brighter than a cloudless summer afternoon. The glory of God radiates and provides light to all of paradise. The lush green grass was so perfect that I wondered if I should walk on it. In the distance were beautiful mountain ranges, some green, some colorful, and others snow-capped. One mountain was covered with colorful flowers that were about 5 inches tall. The forests are the most beautiful I have ever laid eyes on. There are majestic, full waterfalls and places where water gushes from the ground like a geyser. I saw a body of water near a mountain, and the water looked like a sea. I can't tell you much else about it because I never walked in that direction. The people enjoy every moment of life as though they are on vacation or attending a record-sized family reunion. They are laughing, talking, and strolling down the streets hand in hand. Some of my relatives waved to me as they sat on porch swings. There are outdoor tables and chairs and picnic tables. People also work in paradise. I saw some building houses and others making furniture. I saw artists painting beautiful pictures on canvas, and the colors and artwork were so unusual that everything seemed to jump off the canvas. The people were enjoying whatever they did, whether it was work or recreation. There are playgrounds, seesaws, and merry-go-rounds for the children. I saw children riding a merry-go-round, and it sparkled with many colors as it moved in a circle. The children play games, jump rope, play ball, and splash in the water. They are having fun simply being children. Classes are conducted where these children are taught the things of God. All of the colors in paradise are brilliant, deep, rich, and alive, unlike anything on earth. There are colors that you think would be accessible only to kings and royalty. God loves color, and these are all happy colors. Every color imaginable exists in paradise except black. There is no black anywhere to be found. The beauty and color that God gave us on earth pale in comparison to what He created in paradise. The birds are very colorful, much like the tropical birds that you see in photographs. I saw animals, including a dog that looked like one we owned that had died, and the dog seemed to know me. There are even animals that we would consider wild on earth, but in paradise they are so tame that children play with them. Trees are loaded with the most delicious fruit I have ever eaten in my life. I tasted a piece of the sweet fruit, and it is still difficult for me to enjoy food on earth because nothing compares to the taste of that one piece of fruit that I plucked from a tree in paradise. Everybody except the young adults, children, and babies appeared to be in their early to mid-30s. There were no physical deformities or medical problems because nothing evil can enter paradise, including disease. Every person was healthy and physically fit, and they all looked great. There are no ugly people there because God gives you a beautiful housing for your soul and spirit. The Spirit of God makes everybody beautiful. There is a choir in paradise that never stops singing. This music is far better than the most outstanding choir you have ever heard on earth, and the songs are all songs of praise. Hundreds and hundreds of people sing beautifully, and the music never stops. I sensed that the choir was made up of people who always wanted to sing on earth, but could never carry a tune. Once they arrived in paradise, God anointed them to sing. There were all types of musical instruments, including harps and flutes. My entire being soaked up the sound, and the music was so uplifting that I felt like I was walking on air. Even the flowers, trees, and grass swayed with the music, as though filled with the breath of life. Trees moved their branches back and forth like a wave offering. The homes are magnificent, with a golden glow of light coming from every window. Your new heavenly name is posted on your house. The largest homes in paradise belong to the angels. There were also large homes for some of the people who arrived from earth, and plenty of small houses as well. Everything wonderful that God created for us to love and enjoy on earth is also in paradise. God gave us a little bit of paradise on this earth. However, the majesty and perfection of paradise is so grand that it is nearly impossible to describe. Any words that I could use would do it a great injustice. Everything on this earth is a mere shadow of what God has prepared for those who love and serve Him. As I walked around one day, I saw a woman running across a bridge toward me. Her hair was blowing in the breeze, and a man was running alongside her. From a distance, I thought I recognized them. As they came closer, I saw that they were my in-laws, Jep and Ima Finch. Both approached me and said, "Ronnie, tell the girls that we are waiting on them." "What about Kenny?" I asked. Ima replied, "Ronnie, we know what Kenny is doing, and we have put him in the hands of God. He has been there all this time, and we are not going to take him out now. But tell the girls that we are waiting on them." It was interesting that Jep and Ima were not worried or distraught over their son who was not serving God. They simply had confidence that he was in the hands of God. Another time, as I was strolling along a walkway, taking in all the scenery, a man about 5'5", with a medium build and olive skin, walked toward me. He looked at me and smiled as he approached. I noticed that his eyes were a deep, dark blue, and he had a charisma about him that nobody else in paradise had. After he passed, he turned around and called out, "Ronnie!" I turned, and the man said, "You know something, Ronnie? You are a lot like I am. God had to blind me so that I could see, and He had to kill you so that you could live." I recognized the man as the Apostle Paul. People in paradise know what is happening here on earth. They can go to portals and watch events taking place on earth. If your friends and relatives who are in paradise want to know what you're doing, they are able to go to this location and see. Some of you have a mother who has gone home to be with the Lord and who prayed many prayers for your salvation. The angels rejoice each time a person repents, and you can be assured that your mother will also know when you accept Christ. While in paradise, I was able to hear things that were being said on earth. I heard Helen praying, "Ronnie Posey, I speak life over you in the name of Jesus. We will go to the nations, cast out demons, heal the sick, raise the dead, and win souls to Christ. We have not done what God called us to do, and you cannot do it while you are lying there in that condition. I speak life over you. In the name of Jesus, get back in your body so that we can do what God called us to do. I also heard my grandson Jep speaking as he walked along the beach. He was pleading, "Papa, you cannot leave us. What would we do? We would starve to death. Please don't leave us. You have to come home. We cannot make it without you." People often wonder what happens to babies when they die. All babies who have died are in paradise where angels take care of them. I saw angels carrying the babies and feeding them something from an unusually shaped bottle. I asked God about these babies, and he replied, "These babies died in the womb, either from miscarriage or abortion." He also told me, "If those who had abortions will repent and serve me, I will forgive them." While I was there, a girl with red hair and blue eyes followed me almost everywhere I went. She continually looked up at me and smiled. We had lost our second child through miscarriage when Helen was 24 years old, and when I told her this story, she insisted this was our child. She said the Lord told her at the time of miscarriage that the child was a girl with red hair. If you have lost a child, even through abortion, you will see your child again if you will repent of your sins, accept Christ's salvation, and live a righteous and obedient life. These children will recognize their parents as soon as they see them. Even though your child was not with you on earth, you both can be together for eternity.